Hey everyone, Michael here. Welcome into Proverbs 31. Hey, last chapter of the book. You made it through. Congratulations. Give yourself a round of applause. Maybe it's the first time you've ever completed a series of anything. I don't know. Maybe you've completed a lot of stuff, but proud of you for making it through. Proverbs 31 gives us some great insight here on a variety of things, but remember the goal here is to go back and go through this every month. Now, I know that there's certain chapters that have more information and certain things that will connect with you. You know, maybe chapter 7 or chapter 10 or chapter 3 or chapter 2, whatever it is. You got to pull some things out. But use it as a guide and maybe make a note along the way of which chapters actually really stood out to you. You know, that's important. So that way you can go back and rinse and repeat some of those. Nothing wrong with that either along the way. But chapter 31, going to be a good one here. Let's kind of read through. There is some sayings initially of King Lemuel, if I'm saying that correctly, and then going into some other proverbs about a wife of noble character and what that looks like. So I think there's going to be some things we can all gain from this. Let's have a word of prayer, though, before we jump in, okay? Father, I just want to thank you so much for everyone joining us in this series. God, I just praise you for the ability to have the technology and access to produce some of these things and put them together in such a way that we can really share your truth. So may it go out and the seeds be planted and encourage many hearts that listen. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, remember, grab your Bibles. New Living Translation version is what I'm reading. And we're going to jump in here. Chapter 31, last chapter of Proverbs. Verse 1, it says, "The sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him." I thought that was kind of cool, right? So these are sayings from his mother. So, hey, listen, ladies out there, I know there's a lot of men that might be leading in certain ways, but it's important that you ladies are leading as well, right? In your home and being in a place where you're teaching your kids and maybe being involved in other groups and leading people. It's very important that that happens. If you're if you have daughters, you want to raise them so they know these things. And obviously, guys, raise them so they know these things. So this is the king sharing a few things that he was taught by his mother. "Oh, my son, oh, my son of my womb, oh, my son of my vows." So she's setting up where he came from, right? The vows are his wedding vows, womb, all those kind of stuff. You know that. "Do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol. For if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed." Now, again, she's saying this because she knows that he's going to be in a place of an authority. And when that happens, when you are in a place of authority, what you say and what you do has a lot of weight. So she's cautioning him here initially to not chase these women that just will take away your strength and just be in a place where they're kind of a waste of time. They're attractive and maybe fun in the moment, but a waste of time. Don't do that. And then she's talking about alcohol, having a clear mind, very important, because as you're making decisions for your kingdom, it affects a lot of people. "Alcohol," verse 6, "is for the dying, and wine is for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Verse 8, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice." So in other words, stand up for people that cannot help themselves. That's what she's encouraging here, him here as she shared these things when he was younger. Verse 10, now we move to talking about some things about women and what it looks like to be a wife. Verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her." Wow. It's a big deal, guys, and girls primarily for that matter as well. If you can be trusted, right? "And she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant's ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong and a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter of her household, for everyone has warm clothes. So this is a representation. Now, I know a lot of ladies listening to this today are not in a situation where they are, you know, doing these kinds of things day in and day out like they used to years ago. But at the end of the day, what this is talking about is a woman who is actively engaged in helping build and add value to the home. I know a lot of people in our culture today say, you know, the rules and a man does this and a woman does this and all that kind of thing. And that doesn't mean that men and women can't share roles. And I'm not saying that in some capacity. But when you look at it through a biblical lens, there are certain rules, not rules like do this and do that, but like rules around the house and things like that as far as a family that were designed. Like men can't have babies, right? Women can. And so when you look at some of these things, a lot of times in times past, women may have said, well, we need equal pay, we need this, we need that. And I don't want to get into that conversation because that's not what this is about. But I want you to think about this from a business perspective, right? Since men can't have babies, you know what doesn't happen when men work? What doesn't happen when men work is you don't see them needing maternity leave. You don't see them walking away from a company. You don't see them doing those types of things. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having babies, and I'm not saying women can't work. I'm not saying that at all. I just want you to hear me on this for a minute because this is a little countercultural. If you are working at a business and it's a smaller company and you are a crucial or key piece to that company's success, you're as an employee, and you are leaving several months at a time, a couple years in a row because you're having multiple children. Listen, that is hard for the business to create stability and grow. Because when you're gone as a woman because you're having a baby, and there's nothing wrong with that, it's hard for the company to grow because they need you. They need your services. They need what you're doing. You are hired for those purposes. Again, there's nothing wrong with having a baby and exiting, but I want you to think about it. If you had a company and you had two employees, one was male and one was female, had nothing to do with their sex, it had everything to do with their involvement day to day in the company, and you had one, knowing the female, that was younger and going to have babies, and you knew that that person over the next 3, 4, 5 years could potentially, if they had several children, be out for 2, 3 months potentially at a time. Like, that has a drastic effect on a key person in a business, right? I mean, think about it. If you're the CEO of a company and you're leaving for 2 months as a woman, and the company just runs, is that okay? Probably not. So this is one of the reasons, ladies, that it's not an offense to the women. It's the idea of understanding this is why God created it the way that he did. God's design was for the man to provide financially for the home. That's God's design. God's design for the woman was to we'll call it the house manager and run the home and take care of the day-to-day responsibilities. Those are equally as important. And when you come together as a team, those of you that are single parents out there listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about, the benefit of having a quality, strong team if you don't have the other person. Listen, it's hard to live life without two working together. And so that was God's design. So I don't look at this in any way, shape, or form as women are lesser of value. It's just in business and in life, you know, a business needs consistency if they really want to grow. And so that's why God designed it this way. Now, that doesn't mean women can't be in the workforce and you can't work around those things. I'm not saying any of that at all. What I'm saying is I want to challenge you to think about God's design for what this looks like and why the optimal family and home is the way that I just mentioned. That's God's design. It's not sexist. It's just about efficiency. And I want to challenge you to think about it that way. Very important. Now, a lot of the thinking from women and kind of rolling over men, that was told all the way back in the book of Genesis, by the way. Whenever Adam and Eve ate the fruit, and then the result of that was sin, And the Bible said that God would cause a woman to want to rule over her husband. Like, that's part of the fall. That's part of the fall all the way back to mankind in Genesis. But it's interesting when Proverbs 31 is talking about what does it look like to be a wife of noble character, someone who's honoring, someone who cares about the family, someone who realizes that their responsibility and role is X and their husband's responsibility is X. And when they together do what they're called to do, they can do some pretty neat things together as a team. It's a neat thing, really. Remember, there's no I in team, the old saying. Verse 22, she makes her own bedspread. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. In other words, she's taking care of herself. She's taking care of the way she looks. Her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments. She sashes to sell to the merchants. In other words, here's a team where the husband is out there doing his thing and the wife is doing her thing as well. Equally as important, she respects herself. She respects her home. She respects taking care of the day-to-days of her home. And she's trying to prop up, in a lot of ways, her husband so he can go do the things to help the whole home do better as he makes more and things like that. That's kind of what Proverbs 31 is talking about here. She is clothed with strength and dignity. When she speaks, her words are wise. By the way, if you missed it in verse 24, it doesn't mean that she's not doing anything that can't make money. Look, it says she makes belted linen garments in sashes to sell to merchants. She's got her own little side gigs, her little side hustle. That's what she's got going on there. Think about that. Verse 25, she clothes with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions in kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing to laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you, this is the wife of noble character, says you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Remember, we talked about fear earlier in Proverbs and the healthy kind of fear we discussed. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. So she's getting praised as well by others because of who she is. I got to tell you, in our society today, we've been in a place where the family has been under attack in many ways. And there have been many women of the world that have chased after secular success, jobs, careers, and they've left their families go by only to be in a place years later where they go back and say, gosh, I wish I would have focused more on my family and done it the way that God has said to do it. But see, what happens is the enemy makes his way in, just like he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden, and shares these little thoughts. And you say, that's interesting. What about that? And you start to question the things of God. And you start to go down your own way. And you go down your own path. And this isn't just women. This is all of us guys. So by tethering ourselves to truth, the truth of God's word, we're in a situation where we have thought that can help guide us into righteousness and right living. Are we going to do it perfect all the time? No. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. There is no perfection. There was only one perfect person that walked this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. So use this as a time and an opportunity to say, how can I grow? How can I develop? And what does our family look like? Maybe men and women sit down and talk about what does our family structure look like and try and improve along the way and help each other as a team. Look at each other with kindness and love, not competition, but as a team. Compete as a team, husband and wife, so that way you guys can be in a place where you can fulfill all that God's called you to do. That's the goal. Hey, listen, be blessed. Thank you for joining us through this series. I hope you've learned a lot. I know I have. Make sure that you join us next month, going right back through it again, and see, maybe make notes. Try have a note page that says Proverbs 1. Make notes that stand out to you and put a date on it. And then when you go through it again, do the same thing with a different date. I guarantee you, you'll be impressed and surprised at how different truths will stand out to you at different times when you go through this book, month to month to month. Thanks for dialing in. We'll catch you next series. Be blessed.